Welcome to What Does Your Family Look Like? I'm Rosie, and in this episode, Eliza talks about the role medication plays, family struggles, and why ADHD is a superpower. Let's listen.
I was able to manage ADHD until I had kids. And that's when I had so many inputs. You know, the kids wanting something from me. I'm married. I'm working full time. You know, nobody's marriage is at its peak when you've got screaming young babies. You know, like you've got all these things happening. And once the inputs got too much, I just started to break down. And I was in therapy on anxiety meds. But then I was pregnant again. And, you know, then that, so all of it just was a mess. And, it was in the way, it started to get in the way of my life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it at the time, but when I was diagnosed and Nick was seven, those inputs had lessened, but the years prior to that had been, frankly, miserable in a lot of ways for me personally, not for me in the grander scheme of my family. But I love my children, but at a certain point, I don't want to be touched or talked to. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was, like, all these stimuli would send me into overload, and I would either explode or implode.
So is it like a shutdown?
Yeah, well, I would either get angry, which is not something you want to do as a mom, and yell, or I would just collapse and exit. And thankfully, I have a wonderful partner. Matt is a great co-parent, and
so he takes over where
he will take over. And, you know, he's not that dad that lives on the sidelines and steps in. I mean, he's the 50% dad. Yeah. So I never worried that my kids weren't taken care of if I needed that. But it was, and I mean, I was working full time.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And it just became very clear that I wasn't being the person I wanted to be, but I didn't know how to solve it.
Right.
And so when I, for me, it, like I was saying, for me, it was all these emotional reactions. I couldn't handle, like, I couldn't create a cubicle in my head to organize all of it.
Right.
It was just all the papers and the notes and I just, so here's the really, really wonderful thing about what happened. I mean, I do say to Nick doesn't love to be, you know, don't ride me, mom. Like, I got this, blah, blah. He also doesn't like to be complimented. So I'm like, how am I supposed to talk to you?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right.
But hello. Welcome to 12-year-olds. But every once in a while when I feel like he can hear it, I'll thank him because the timeline, I don't know if you remember this. Nick got diagnosed in, I would say, January of 2019. And I got, for some reason, I decided, got an itch to go travel alone that same year.
That.
And I took a trip to Bali by myself, which I'd never done before. And it was like, I think I was realizing how much was building up that I needed to relax. And when I came back from Bali is when I got diagnosed. And that was October
of 2019.
And Matt was diagnosed with leukemia in November of 2019. He went into treatment for a full month in December of 2019, and COVID hit in March.
Right.
And by that time I was diagnosed, I was on my meds, I had a little better understanding of my brain. And I started working with an executive functioning coach.
Oh.
And so the way my son has a class, I had a coach.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So I don't even know what she looks like because we've only ever talked on the phone. But she helped me organize my schedule.
That's great.
My working schedule, like when am I going to answer emails? I mean, I got to the point where I've got 47,000 unopened work emails, like, you can't do that.
Right.
Right. So, but then it was how to, you know, chunk in time for my children because Matt's in the hospital. And then it was how much, you know, how am I going to get to and from the hospital? And she helped me think ahead. So when I knew my husband was going to be getting a bone marrow transplant, she was like, what is your day going to look like? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'll take him and I'll go to work and I'll get the kit. And she's like, no, no. What is your day going to look like? And I had to take a leave of absence from work.
Right.
And I was able to do it with foresight and with grace for my job and not just hit a wall and go, oh my God, and then leave everybody at work hanging. Like, mm-hmm. I planned it, mm-hmm. and I did it the way an adult human mm-hmm. professional should do it. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have if I hadn't had her.
Yes. And you were on medication at this point?
Yeah.
Had it reached a peak yet?
What do you mean?
Like with medicine, with ADHD medicine, do you have to be on it a certain amount of time?
No. So the wonderful thing, and this is especially for any parents who are listening who are really hesitant about trying ADHD meds, mm-hmm. they're not like anxiety or depression meds that have to build up in your system. Mm-hmm. They're one and done.
Okay.
And so, you know, for the women, like, we would try birth control pills and it would take a month or two to figure out right. if it was the right one for your body.
Right.
No, this is, it's in and out of your system within 24 hours. And so can you necessarily assess whether it's a good medication for you over time? Not in 24 hours.
Right.
But if you hate it, it's gone.
How many different medications did you have to go through?
Well, this is funny. The first time I tried medication was when I was on camera, and because they documented the whole thing. And they hadn't showed up at my house early while I was getting ready. Well, the way that I had been self-medicating, not realizing it, was I would have about 5 cups of coffee in the morning.
Okay.
And then at night I'd have a couple glasses of wine.
Okay.
And so because stimulants, so any kind of stimulant.
Is it the focus thing? They help you to focus?
Stimulants help ADHD people focus. And so I remember when I was young, having young babies, there were parents that were like, yeah, my kid will have a Benadryl and a cup of coffee at night, or a Coke, I guess, and goes right to sleep. Well, there's an indicator that your child has a little bit of a different brain.
So the caffeine.
The caffeine helps relax. I wouldn't say it helps relax. It helps zone it in a way that you're not, you know, oh, there's a squirrel. Hi, Rosie. Oh, my God. I really like that rose. That's so pretty. I'm feeling a little hot. I'm feeling a little, you know, right. Like your brain just focuses on what's in front of you.
So where the caffeine may affect me differently.
Correct. So people who don't have ADHD are going to feel very different. So if you took my medication, you might get like that super, super hyper focus that people, you see these movies of people who steal Adderall and speed and stuff, snort it so that they can, you know, win the game at Wall Street. Well, they don't have ADHD brains, because if they did, it wouldn't work. You don't get a speed reaction
right.
to stimulant medication if your brain chemistry is ADHD.
Right.
So we have all these ADHD meds in the house, and I keep them under lock and key because it's not going to,
right.
neither Nick nor I could get addicted to it. It's not going to give us a speed effect, but it could for other people.
Right.
And so,
right.
But for, you know, parents who are, and everybody has a different approach, and I have no vested interest in how people deal with themselves or their kids, but there's a fear of medication, period. And we all have it. And, but with these, what's nice is you can try one and see how you react. And if you don't like it, or your kid seems to feel a little jittery or whatever, you're off. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple different kinds, stimulant medications, non-stimulant medications, and you can play around with them. Mm-hmm. But not everybody responds to meds. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a trial and error. But you asked the question, how many did I try? Well, the first one I tried was when I had drank 5 cups of coffee. Oh. And I was like, this feels a little bit jittery. And I talked to Dr. Halliwell, and he's like, well, talk to me through your morning. I said, well, I had my cups of coffee. He goes, okay, stop. You cannot have 5 cups of coffee
and take this medicine.
And so So I tried it, and then I actually asked. The meds were fine the next day. The meds were totally fine.
Oh, good.
And then I said, hey, just for shits and giggles, let's try another one. And we did, and that one was fine, too. So they're not... So for me, they were not that different. Nick has been on a number of them. One, the one that he's on now is actually this extended release that takes him all day, mm-hmm. which is nice because a lot of kids have to go to the nurse midday and get like a re-up because it's only a four-hour med. His is an eight-hour med.
Okay.
And so it gets him through school.
And that's all you... Does he come home and take something else? Or he's fine when he gets home? It's okay if he...
He's, I mean, if there was a 24-hour med, I would put him on it.
Right.
Because there is a crash afterwards. And
is he exhausted?
He's exhausted. It definitely depresses the appetite. So you have to be more diligent. We, you know, we give him a eggs, bacon, hash browns, like, you know, we are Denny's in the morning trying to feed him.
Got it.
He doesn't eat lunch at school.
And he's then just not hungry.
He comes home and he wants to eat lunch at 3:05 because that's when the meds wear off and he's starving. So it's like a mini dinner and then regular dinner.
Okay. You work around it.
You work around it.
It's just like it doesn't have to be a prescribed way.
No. And I mean, I'm not going to lie and say there aren't some challenges, but like feeding him on a schedule that's not the same as us or having him feel terrible about himself for his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you don't want him to go through.
Those are not two choices that are even remotely, you know, not one. There's not a single parent that's going to go, I can't deal with that eating thing. He can just feel shitty about himself. nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah.
How's he done in school since the meds?
So for him, he has always done really well academically in school. The meds really help him be less distracted.
Okay.
So when he's not on the meds, like when he was much younger, we would get calls from the school. So Nick's having kind of a hard day. He's running up and down the hallways. And then we look at the pill pack and it's like, oh, we forgot to give him his pill.
Oh.
And so we had one teacher who was so funny. She's like, is it a pill day or not? And we go, oh, sorry. Sorry. It's going to be a long afternoon.
Well, you weren't on medication at this point, right?
No.
And so you're having to remind him and you're dealing with your own ADHD brain.
It's still, still times.
Challenging.
And what's been actually really another really nice benefit is Matt, my husband, used to get so frustrated with me, you know, especially so like when it was just me and him and we were married and, you know, you take care of your own life. And when I went to the gym, had nothing to do with when he went to the gym. But when you have kids, you've got to negotiate all that stuff for time. And he would get so frustrated because I'd have the wrong time or I'd be late or, and I totally get it. But when I was diagnosed, he started to understand and he was there. He came for the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So the doctor asked him questions about me and because he said the diagnosis is really multifaceted. It's not just the testing. It's how to, you know, if you're a kid, what do your teachers observe? If you're an adult, what are your friends, your spouse, your parents observe? And it gave Matt a lot more understanding of who I am and why I am. And I remember one thing that was really profound was he would say to me, you just seem like you're really unsatisfied, because I would want to, like, I took up scuba diving. Then I wanted to go learn how to fly a plane. And then I wanted to go like on an archaeological dig. And he's like, why aren't you just satisfied with what you have? And I'm like, I don't know. I just like, I'm curious and I'm not dissatisfied. And Dr. Halliwell's like, boredom is kryptonite to an ADHD brain. And so you're constantly seeking out something that's stimulating to your brain.
Well, that's interesting.
And so Matt was able to understand, I'm not dissatisfied. I'm just wired to seek out something new and stimulating. And I think, I mean, I'm not sure Matt would even remember that, but I think he realizes now, like, oh, she's not unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And that has changed the dynamic of how he views what I'm interested in.
Oh, that's great.
But, you know, you had asked about Nick with the fishing and the hyper-focus and the flip side of ADHD. So when the distractibility, the hyperactivity, the overwhelm, the inputs, the explosions is for people with ADHD, when they love something, they are able to hyper-focus in a way that supersedes most other brains' abilities to focus ever.
And this is the superpower. That ability to hyper-focus, where you can focus on a task for hours on end, is an amazing byproduct of an ADHD brain. How lucky is the world that we have people that think so differently? Imagine the contributions to the fields of medicine, space, the arts, math, etc. It's endless. In the next and last episode with Liza, she delves more deeply into Nick's superpower and urges parents to set aside their fears and become your child's advocate. Till next time. Please like and subscribe and follow us on all social media at WDYFLL, the podcast.